Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Uncertainty has led to anxiety among our people, and that is understandable, but anxiety can feed anxiety, and that can make it hard to see all that is being done to solve the problem. The federal government has a comprehensive strategy and the tools necessary to address the challenges in our economy.
You are the instruments that God is going to use to bring about universal change. And that is why Barack has captured the youth. And he has involved young people in a political process that they didn't care.
Boom, 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 boom.
Who wants to do? Boom, 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 boom.
I'll always want to, because my heart...
Welcome to Rock and Roll Friday in the Savage Nation.
I'll tell you all the ABCs.
We had the supreme leader of the Western world, George Bush, telling us that the stock market crash creates anxiety, but that they have the tools necessary to solve the problem. These are the same people who use the tools to destroy the economy. Now we're supposed to believe that his tools are going to save the economy. And then we play Louis Farrakhan speaking at the Nation of Islam Saviors Day conference, calling Barack Obama The Messiah. So we have Rock and Roll Friday. The question to you today is this. What does McCain have to do to win the election? He's the underdog. And my lead article on michaelsavage.com, we linked up from CNS News, which shows that during economic turmoil, the incumbent party has always lost. Only once since 1856 has the party in the White House managed to retain the presidency when a presidential election occurred during a definable economic downturn. Well, I would say we have a definable economic downturn, wouldn't you? In the 26 presidential elections that took place during periods of economic growth, the incumbent party lost the White House only five times. I believe McCain is obviously the underdog. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. He's been running the worst campaign known to mankind. And Obama is running the most corrupt campaign in American history. He's registering the dead, the criminals, the homeless, multiply registering, driving people across state borders. And the Republicans are standing like the light, the headlights in the eyes. They don't know what to do. What does McCain have to do to win the election is the question. Can he do anything to win the election other than not be John McCain, the latter? If it could be John McCain the younger, he has a chance to win, in my opinion. But if he's going to be John McCain the compromiser, you may as well move to Kenya. The reason you may as well move to Kenya is because Kenya is going to move to America if Barack Hussein Obama wins. Can you imagine Louis Farrakhan as the education minister, Al Sharpton as secretary of the treasury, Jesse Jackson as secretary of labor? Don't laugh. Hey, how do you know what Barack Hussein Obama is going to do? He might appoint somebody from Pakistan. He could change the rules on that since we don't know where he was born. His party won't produce his birth certificate. And I can't wait to see all of the white liberals, the very wealthy ones, say, well, I didn't know. I had no idea. I just hated white people. We'll say the white people will say they only hated white people. And they only wanted to give a man who was not a white man a chance. They wanted to be fair. What can McCain do to win? Please don't take callers saying drop Palin and get Romney. Drop that caller. He's not dropping Palin and getting Romney. It's far too late for that, so we can drop line 10. Can McCain win, yes or no? What else do we have? We have Louis Farrakhan. We have the Nation of Islam. We have Rock and Roll Friday. Play the Rock and Roll Friday song again. The people are depressed. The same one. Boom, boom, boom. No, no. Stop the music. We're going to have trouble today. I could see already. Let's take a deep breath, boys. Start in the beginning with boom, 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 boom.
Boom, 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 boom. Do what you do. Boom, 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 boom.
I'll always want you because my heart is
blue. Stop. Hold it. I hear the Blue Angels. They're practicing. They're flying outside the studio. If only we could use the Blue Angels to save America instead of just practicing. If only they could actually do something to save the country. But, what are you going to do? What about Bill Ayers as Secretary of Education? That would be good. Wait a minute. I have a better idea. What if he makes Bill Ayers? What if Obama makes Bill Ayers the head of the FBI, the man who killed police, and try to bring it all down, man? Now, the nerve of Michelle Obama to appear on Larry King. Larry King, of course, is the lowest of the low. I mean, I know Larry King is the lowest of the low. I know he's a gutter rat. I had no idea he was a sewer rat. She goes on to Larry King, who's, of course, the king of lies, in my humble opinion. And Larry King lets her get away with the biggest whopper that I've ever heard. Listen to clip 14.
Do you know William Ayers?
Yes, yes, yes. Barack served on the board of the Annenberg Challenge with Bill Ayers. And
that was started by the Annenberg family, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Mrs. Annenberg, in fact, endorsed John McCain. So I don't know anyone in Chicago who's heavily involved in education policy who doesn't know Bill Ayers. But, you know, again, I go back to the point that, you know, the American people aren't asking these questions.
Yes, they are. No, no, the real American people are, Michelle. But I suppose you can get rid of the American people who ask these questions once you become the queen dictator, the queen of diamonds, so to speak. Yeah, everyone in Germany knew a certain Adolf, too. What do you mean everybody in Chicago knows Bill Ayers? Obama and Ayers worked on the same committee at the same time. Bill Ayers is a known American terrorist. Barack Hussein Obama was his best friend. What are you talking about? Everybody knows him. That's ridiculous. Now, you can hear her breathing heavily as she's lying. The deep breaths that Larry, of course, Larry King, as you well know, is a shame unto himself. A shame unto himself that his ancestors fled the oppression of Europe to bring up a creature like this from the Black Lagoon is unbelievable to me. I can't wait to hear what they say a few years from now after they've taken this man and they've made him into president. I can't wait to hear what the liberals say. Well, I didn't know. I had no idea. I just wanted anybody but a WASP, anybody but a white man. Well, the liberals will say that, of course. Why do liberals hate white people when most of them are liberals? I don't understand that part of it. Can McCain win? And should he win? I mean, the real question is, should he? He will not go on Rush Limbaugh's show. He won't go on the Lep show, won't go on the Savage Nation. This audience and Russia's audience together is approximately 40 million people. Now, why would McCain not go on Limbaugh? I could see why he wouldn't come on this show, because he knows that there's no wiggle room with me. Why would he not go on Limbaugh's show? Because he doesn't want to win, or he's too stupid to understand who his core base is? Can McCain win, yes or no? What does he need to do to win? Because as I said to you, the lead article linked up from CNS on MichaelSavage.com says, only once since 1856 has the party in the White House managed to retain the presidency when a presidential election occurred during an economic downturn. So there it is. I'm not going to bring up Hayes and Tilden. Nobody knows who Hayes and Tilden are. Oh, did I have three bad tacos for lunch? God, you'll have to forgive me. I'm distracted. I went to Baja Fresh. They should rename it Baja Cold. They should rename it Baja Frio. They have a special going, you know. I went for it. I figure it's hard times. So although I'm not, you know, feeling it at all because I'm in a good business and all, I've always been frugal. It enables me to be the frugal man I am. So I went into Baja Fresh, which I now call Baja Frio because everything was ice cold. And they have a special, 3 for $6.99. A shrimp taco, a beef taco, and a chicken taco. with rice and beans. I really only wanted the rice and beans. It comes out, the rice and beans were nice. Everything else was like from a refrigerator. But I've reached a point where I can't complain anymore. I can't take it. Everything in the country is broken and a robbery. Everything I touch is a thievery, a robbery, a distortion, a lie, a disrespect. Nothing works. You can't even get a hot taco. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Nothing's right. People try to cut you off from the right lane and give you the finger. Then when you catch up to them with the light, they get nervous. I had a guy last night. Whoa, is he lucky that I'm not on Prozac. Cuts off from the right lane and speeds ahead through a red light. I stops. He figures he's home free all. You ever catch one of those? They cut you off, give you the finger, and speed through the red light, and they're home free all. Then they go to the next light, and they're still sitting there, and you pull up next to them. You ever see those guys? That's a fun one. Now, I could talk about tacos, or I could talk about Obama. I could talk about McCain. I can talk about Bush. I could talk about Ayers. All aboard. I think it's futile to talk about any of it because I think it's over. Frankly, you may as well just move to Kenya. See if you can get a hut next to Obama's cousin. I'll be right back. Savage.
Yes. Barack served on the board of the Annenberg Challenge with Bill Ayers. And
I was started by the Annenberg family.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And
you know Larry, the Annenberg family. You know him well. Hey, Larry. You ate
so
a little.
I don't know anyone in Chicago who's heavily involved in education policy who doesn't know Bill Ayers. But, you know, again, I.
All right. She's taking deep breaths already. She's full of wind. She doesn't know anyone in Chicago who doesn't know Bill Ayers. Well, we have a police sergeant from Chicago who knows Bill Ayers. Jack in Chicago. How come everyone in Chicago knows Bill Ayers, Jack?
Because everyone on the Chicago Police Department knows Bill Ayers because him and his wife killed a police sergeant in San Francisco. And that's how we know him.
Oh. Because Larry King says the Annenbergs, huh? He must have broken bread with the Annenbergs, Larry, huh?
This whole Mayor Daley, all the Democrats, I used to be a proud Democrat. I was part of the Democratic machine in Chicago. And it's a socialist group that Bill Ayers, he refuses to apologize for what he did. He wishes he did more. After 9/11, he said he should have did more bombing. And it makes me sick to my stomach.
And, of course, the connection between Bill Ayers and Obama is very clear. They work together on the Annenberg-funded foundation. Hand in hand, arm in arm. They were cohorts. They collaborated together. It wasn't a casual knowledge. Isn't that correct, Jack?
Absolutely. There's a neighborhood in Chicago called Hyde Park. It's on the east side, southeast side of Chicago. It's the University of Chicago. It's all the, you know, the elitists. It's not really the south side of Chicago. It's just that's where they all live. And it's where they all gravitate to each other, and they all got the same belief. We're all ultra-liberals, socialists. It's a fifth column, I think.
Isn't that the NIMBA? Isn't that the NIMBA, the not-in-my-backyard crowd?
I'm sorry, say that again, sir?
That's the not-in-my-backyard crowd. In other words, they're all for integration, and they're all for everything good, but they don't want it in their backyard.
Yeah, it's okay to integrate there if you're part of the university and part of their clique.
Uh-huh.
But if you're not,
well, we'll have to wait and see how they rule the world once they take over. Thanks for the call. We'll see if police will be sent to re-education camps by Michelle Obama. Maybe her friends will run the re-education camps for police. Can't tell, because she might get some Annenberg money, or she may even get money from the folks who sold a bank here in Oakland who give money to the most radical leftist causes. World Bank, they sold their business for $2.1 billion. And they give money to the ACLU, MoveOn.org, all the leftist groups. Oh, yes. Descendants of the oppressed now wanting to oppress others. Interesting how that works out. But then there's nothing new under the sun. All the Marxists were from fairly wealthy families. You got to remember that. They were not poor. Can McCain win? What does he need to do to win? Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website where these stories and others can be seen, including my great show yesterday where I claimed I was going to create a third party. And if you want to hear my my founding verbal document. It's on michaelsavage.com. I had to close the poll down because we were hacked again by the Democrats who were hitting no votes on it. So, hey, we'll close the poll down. Norfolk, Virginia. Sean, what does McCain need to do to win?
At this point, Dr. Savage, honestly, I don't think he can. He doesn't seem to want to win. It's like you say, it seems like he's a fall guy. I'm 23 years old. I'm smart enough to realize this, mainly because I probably listen to the Savage Nation. But I'm amazed by how many people my age are just mindless idiots and are voting for Obama, and they don't know why.
Well, he's young. He's charismatic. He speaks nicely. They don't care what politics he espouses. They're voting for a young man versus an old man, a vigorous man versus a guy who can hardly get up in the morning. I mean, that's what they're voting for, Sean. The youth vote is voting for youth. You know that.
No, the youth vote is voting for a moron. I would vote for my grandfather before I'd vote for Obama.
Yeah, but you're a man who respects age, and you're a man who probably respects wisdom. And I'm not so sure that McCain reflects wisdom as much as he does age. Nevertheless, I have to choose McCain on one basis alone, which is I would trust McCain to a fairly high degree with national security issues because of the people he'd put around him. I absolutely fear Obama's national security appointees. I am convinced that they will plunge us into a fifth-rate status, possibly leading to a takeover of this country.
Convinced they
That's
will.
My fear. That's my absolute fear of that man. And it has nothing to do with race. It's not that he's too black, he's too green. Plus, he comes from the Daily Political Machine. What more do you need to know? So, there it is. We all know taxes are going to go up no matter who wins. I mean, let's forget the tax issue. We heard for years from the phony Republicans that the Democrats are a tax and spend party, while Bush was a borrow and spend party. So, what's the difference? Did Bush cut back on spending? Bush was hysterical as the leader of the free world. Bush was an hysterical leader. He prosecuted and persecuted his own military. He destroyed the U.S. economy. I don't know what the man did other than appoint two decent centrists to the Supreme Court, which at this point may be the only instrument that can save us. I mean, maybe if someone brought a citizen lawsuit against Hank Paulson to get back some of the money that was stolen by his cronies on Wall Street, eventually it would go to the Supreme Court. It'll be too late by then, of course.
Savage.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you. Yes, I do. And I'm saving all my love in jail for
it is the Savage Nation. The question of the day is, can McCain win? What does he have to do to win? Now, let's get down to basics. It's not that the American people have embraced Obama. He actually leaves tremendous doubts in the minds of most Americans, even those who've said they're going to vote for him recently. They're running away from the Republicans is the issue. They're voting against George Bush. They're voting against the corrupt Republican Party. I mean, after all, if they vote for Obama, they're voting for the Democrats, which is led by Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, who have an approval rating half that of Bush. So don't say that they're rushing to Obama. The people don't trust Obama, and he knows it, and he's playing defensive. He's playing it cool. McCain is thrashing around and not going on the offense. McCain is like Gerald Ford, a combination of Gerald Ford and Bush 1. And that's the problem here. He is playing Gerald Ford and Bush 1, and he's going to lose. There's only one way McCain could win, and that's go on the attack. As you well know, McCain is terrible on illegal aliens. He's in favor of NAFTA. He's in favor of Wall Street bailouts. He's probably in favor of affirmative action. He probably is in favor of abortion. So he's a social liberal. We know that as well. So he's not exciting the base on top of it all. Yet he has an opportunity to defeat Obama. There's only one area that Obama is vulnerable in. There's an Achilles heel, and that is his association with domestic terrorists like William Ayers. Who is William Ayers? He is the 1960s and 1970s weatherman radical who worked in a conspiracy to bomb the state, the U.S. Capitol and Pentagon, and was quoted the morning of 9/11 as saying he wished he had set off more bombs. The mainstream goon squad is saying it was so long ago that it's irrelevant. But what if it was suddenly discovered that McCain worked back in the 60s with a Ku Klux Klan bomber of black churches in the 60s? Do you think the media would be as forgiving? Do you think the media would say that it was a long time ago? No, I kind of doubt it. So the election, of course, has only a few weeks to go. I don't know if it's possible for McCain to change. I think he's pretty much set in his ways, and I think he's going to stick to his script, which is horrible. I also think he's being undermined. I have felt for a long while his closest advisors are Judases, who, you know how you'll know, is that if McCain loses, which is highly likely right now, just follow where his closest advisors end up. See where they end up. Listen to what Michael Savage said today to you. See where the advisors to McCain, who he now trusts, end up should he lose. My suspicion is they'll end up working either for a PAC that does business with Obama or the top Democrats, or they'll be working for Obama directly. I think that McCain is clueless to his own vulnerabilities, and consequently he's being taken advantage of by his advisors. I've seen this over and over again. Every time he gets ahead or got ahead, he does or says something or doesn't say the right thing and moves behind. Now, right now, that's not why his lead, why his lead has been erased. You do know that since mid-September, the stock market has lost half of the $8 trillion since October. Half of the $8 trillion that has vanished since October of 07 has disappeared since mid-September. All five of America's investment banks, and that include Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, are either gone or about to be gone or have morphed into something else. The nation's largest savings and loan, Washington Mutual, AIG, the largest insurance company, have gone bankrupt. And the federal government bailed out AIG, costing about $100 billion and whatever else the AIG thieves want. Now, we understood that Bush's goon squad said that we needed the $700 billion federal bailout, and they got it. Then they added $150 billion more. And yet, since that time, $3 trillion of the $8 trillion in stock value that has disappeared after passage of the federal bailout, which I said should not have been done. It's not over yet. George W. Bush is like King Ludwig II, who bankrupted the Bavarian treasury. And George Bush is not through yet. George Bush's addiction to laissez-faire capitalism, or shall I say he's the front man for the laissez-faire capitalists, has proven to be the greatest disaster that has ever hit America, greater, in fact, than Osama bin Laden's suicide bombers. That's correct. I would say the horrible damage done by the suicide bombers on 9-11 have been surpassed by the horrible damage done by on 9-15-08 by George Bush's suicidal maniacs on Wall Street. In fact, 3 weeks ago, I said Bush gave it from 9-11 to 9-15 is how I put it. It's a great title. Steal it. Steal this title. Don't give me any credit because it doesn't matter to me anymore. I don't care who takes it because people steal my ideas all the time. I love it. I see it everywhere. They don't even know they're stealing it from me. They think they thought it up. I'm so good that the people who hate me listen to me, take my ideas and write articles about it. They don't even credit me because they don't know they got it from me. And that's good. That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate victory. Lao Tzu said it. You know, pay no attention to who uses your ideas as long as your ideas are being used. Well, so what? So be it. From 9-11 to 9-15, that's what Bush has given us from 9-11 to 9-15. Now, I'm not accusing him of conspiring to have caused 9-11, but I am absolutely convinced that he conspired to cause 9-15 with his laissez-faire capitalism. There were warning signs. Flares were going up for 3 years now. So were people on Wall Street and in the government itself were saying, we've got to stop this. They were either dismissed or written off as crackpots. So the pigs on Wall Street could wallow in the trough a little bit more. And by the way, no one's gone to jail yet. That's right. None of the pig pirate capitalists have lost a centimo. Nobody has seized so much as one of their Ford Escorts. No one has taken away so much as their maid's broom closet in Greenwich, Connecticut. No, and the country's screaming for justice, clamoring to see one of these people taken away in an orange jumpsuit or in handcuffs. It's not happening. And you have to ask yourself, why is it not happening? It's happened before. For God's sakes, WorldCom, Adelphia, those men were led away in handcuffs. What happened under George Bush that nobody has gone to prison? Why have none of these people been indicted? Why have none of them to this day been taken out in handcuffs? Well, I think you could pretty much figure that one out. I mean, this is politics 101. In the ex-Soviet Union, it was called protexia. And that meant you bought protexia from the corrupt Soviet officials. And the more you pay, the higher up the food chain you went. That's a sad statement to make. I'm not feeling good saying this. It makes me feel horrible to believe that the biggest thieves in the history of America can simply buy their way out of arrest. It's unbelievable to me. And the people know it. And the people are going to become lawless. I am telling you that this is going to cause a wave of lawlessness like you have never seen. And I'm not talking about the poor. I'm talking about the middle class. They will start to cheat where they never would cheat before. They will cheat in every way they can to get even with this oppressive, corrupt, bloated regime. That's what's going to happen, mark my words. And then we'll become just like every other third world country on the earth, where people have been doing that for years because they don't trust their government. So, you know, I've asked the question, but it's rhetorical in a way. What does McCain need to do to get the win? Everything you say is probably true, but truthfully, I don't think he can win at this point because he's still McCain. Charlie in New York, what do you think? Can he win, yes or no?
Savage, I think he's setting us up. The Republican Party knows that this is a farce. They set McCain up to take the fall, like you said. You've been saying this for years, that the Republicans are spending, they're doing everything they're not supposed to do, and it's so obvious that...
Yeah, it looks like McCain is sleepwalking through the last part of the campaign to, you know, it's like a guy in a fight where they said, look, you got to go out in the 13th of a 15-rounder. They told him, look, you got to stay to the end, but you got to look like you're losing in the 13th and then losing the 15th.
Exactly.
Right?
And like you said, why isn't he on all of the major radio talk shows and get his talking points off what they're telling
him? Why is he not on Limbaugh? Forget Michael Savage. Why is he not on Limbaugh, who's as middle of the road as you can get?
He's being the people that are behind him are setting him up for the kill, that he's going to go down. The Democrats are going to take over. And because they knew, I say it's a conspiracy, that they knew that this was going to fall. And when there's other guys, the Democrats, they started it, and they said, well, the Republicans said, well, if they started this thing, now let them finish it. Throw McCain to the wolves. Everybody else jumped out of there. All of the Republican wannabes, they couldn't wait to get out of there, if you think about it. This guy was walking.
Yeah, where are some of the guys like Bill Frist? I was thinking about him. Where did he go? How come we don't see him anymore? Where is he? Does anyone know where he is?
They're all hiding.
You remember Bill Frist? He was a leader of the Senate. Where is he? Where is he? There's some top guys who are nowhere to be seen. Where are the top Republicans? How come they've disappeared? Where are they?
They run like this. They run. They're letting this guy sink. They all are letting him. You don't see nobody backing this guy up. Mitt Romney, you don't see him too often. You don't see Giuliani too often. You think these guys would be out there showing
Well, that's true. That's right. They had a certain following, let's say, in certain areas. Where are they?
Not around. This guy.
Well, because they know already the fix is in, you're saying. And they figure, why should they back a donkey who's going to lose?
They all have a chance of coming back. They thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Barack Obama was going to be the vice president. They said, let's get out of here because we can't win this race. And now what they did when they seen that Barack won, they said, oh, my God, we made a mistake, but that's okay. The Republican side says, who cares? Throw McCain to the wolf because he's old. He's not going to run again. And we have it in the stable over here in the next 8 years. We have all these other guys we could throw against them.
Yeah, right. The Republicans will now sit on the sidelines screaming, oh, they're raising taxes. Oh, they appointed a terrorist. Oh, they did this. Oh, they did that. Everything they didn't do for us for 8 years, they'll say the Democrats aren't doing. I know what's coming.
You have Barack Obama. Nobody knows nothing about him. He's collected $400 million from somebody that nobody knows. You don't even know where he got his money from. He's funding Acorn. All kinds of things are wrong around him. But the American, and we're stupid, too. The American people are idiots, too, because of the fact if we listen to this guy, any normal person says, you got to be kidding. Why would you back a guy like this? But meanwhile, they're falling over him like he's somebody that added like from Mars or something that somebody knew. It's so obvious to how corrupt it is. that the Republicans...
Well, how do you, Charlie, you know, I'm listening to you. You sound like one of my relatives from when I was younger in the Bronx. Are you from the Bronx originally?
Upper Manhattan, yes. And my parents were born in the Bronx, 136th Street and St. Anne's Avenue.
But, you know, you're a guy that people can easily underestimate. I bet you all your life people have underestimated you.
Sometimes, yeah. You're right and, about party.
And yeah. I'm listening to you. You have common sense. You're street smart, so you can see through it all. I mean, at least I see it that way. I mean, maybe we're right. I think we're pretty right on this. There's no evidence that McCain wants to win.
No. How can when he's not – all he's doing is the same talking points, the same stupid talking points.
Thank you. The same idiocy. The same garbage. The same thing. When he gets up, I cringe now.
Obama changes the story as the wind goes. You know, it's so obvious that he changes whatever you want to hear in every place he's there. You don't know where his money come from. Obviously, the money's the big thing. The world is coming to an end. They knew that this thing was going to happen. I don't care what anybody says. Paulson, Bush stands up there. This guy, he knew this was going to happen. And he knew because he puts his head down when he talks because he knew. He's so guilty of what happened.
Who, Paulson?
No, Bush.
Oh, Bush. Listen, I can see body language. Did you see Bush yesterday? This is almost embarrassing for me to notice. He was giving a little talk at the White House, and this is a strange thing to say. He pushed his knees together while sitting down, looking almost like a little girl. Did you see that? Did anyone notice that? Have you ever seen a little kid in school when he's being scolded? When he gets scared, he pushes his knees together almost in a girl-like way?
Amazing.
I'm sorry to have to say it, but I see a lot of things out there that sometimes I wonder if I'm the only one seeing this. Charlie, what did you do as a livelihood?
I'm a construction superintendent.
All right. So you're in a world of reality. If somebody puts up a beam wrong, the building falls down.
Question about it.
Thank you. In other words, you're not a politician.
No.
All right, Charlie, God bless you. I'm sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Stay on the line. That's all. Well, that was actually a nice conversation. How could a man in construction not know reality? He lives in reality. You put the wires in wrong and they're hot, the building catches fire. You plumb the building wrong and the hot water spurts out. You put the drywall in wrong and the wall falls down. You put the I-beam in wrong and the whole side of the building doesn't stand up. And look who we have running the country, a guy who can't drive a nail. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and ride. Devil or angel.
It is the Savage Nation. God, Mount Rushmore used to have a meaning. Can you imagine Obama's head on Mount Rushmore? Oh, my God. You think they'll start chiseling Bill Ayer's head in along with Obama's to Mount Rushmore? We got Lincoln, Washington, Jefferson. I guess they need to put an Obama on the right there and Bill Ayers. And don't forget Reverend Wright. He should go up there on Mount Rushmore, too. May as well start getting out the sculptures. Messiah is absolutely speaking, says Farrakhan. Well, he's a reliable source, Louis Farrakhan. Oh, yeah. What if he does the invocation if Obama wins? What if Louis Farrakhan is invited to do the invocation on a Quran? And then Obama says, just kidding, I was a Muslim. What would happen then? We were just kidding. We couldn't tell you because you're a racist. And the rest is history. 1-800-449-8255. There's an article on michaelsavage.com which says Obama is the weatherman from Commentary Magazine. And they show you the direct link between Obama and Bill Ayers. I mean, if you want to bother reading it, I think many of you know this or you kind of know the connection between him and the terrorist, Bill Ayers. And that gang, and you say, well, what does it matter? It was a long time ago. Jesse Jackson spit in the salads of white people, according to his own admission. He doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't have to. What does Jesse Jackson have to spit in the salads of white people anymore? Now he just goes into Wall Street and they give him a check. I mean, would you want to know that Al Sharpton, who is loved by the wonderful gentleman on Fox News, the Fair and Balanced crowd, Al Sharpton was out there with a bullhorn outside Freddie's Fashion Market. egging the crowd on to burn it, baby, burn, and people died? You don't want to know that, because he's reinvented himself, and you don't want to hold his past against him. You know, you don't want to hold people's past against them unless they're conservatives. Then you hold their present against them. Incidentally, I have three different attorneys working on registering domain names. Remember I said I'm creating a third party? I threw out false names yesterday for you thieves who thought you were stealing my domain name. You know what I say? Take it and put it in your pipe and smoke it, because that's not the name I'm going to use. You stupid idiots, you. What a country we live in. A sincere man like me gets up and says, I'm going to form a third party. I give a name, and already some crook took the name and registered it thinking I have to buy it from. They try to hijack me already. Take that name and send it to your grandmother, because I'm not using it. We domained other names, you schmuck, you. What do you think? I'm going to give you the actual name, you idiot, you little men. You try to steal a thing like that? Anyway, we're registering the name. We're getting the domain names. We got some people going. We're going to register it as a political party. We're going to do it. It's going to look, everything takes time. Great oaks from little acorns grow. I'm one man. I've had a pretty hard year. I've been mercilessly attacked all year by forces that were unleashed upon me by George Soros and Media Matters. The leftist Democrat machine has unleashed their wild, mad, psychotic dogs on me all year long. It started with the illegal immigrants. Then it was CARE, an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal anti-terrorism trial. Could you imagine living in a country like this, where I, Michael Savage, a native-born man, a patriot, has to defend himself against a group that's an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal anti-terrorism trial that is being supported by the entire left wing, including the Clinton-appointed judge in San Francisco? Can you imagine being me this year? Well, let me just say to you, I haven't given up yet. So it's been a long, hard year, in addition to which I finished a new book, which is on the way to you. It's amazing to me. I don't know where it comes from, but I think it's the pushcart spirit in me. The way I figured it, my ancestors lived through a lot worse than this. So keep it coming, baby. And I am going to form this third party. Where it goes is up to you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. We're talking about this and that. We're talking about the thieves on Wall Street. We're talking about the almost inevitable ascent of the unknown community organizer associated with terrorists from Chicago. It should be an interesting number of decades that he rules America, the next 70 years or so. You know, I'm sure they'll change the laws, whatever. At least it'll be interesting. I mean, America's never had an outright Marxist dictator, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, it should be fun trying to dodge the government, see what we can get away with. And I'm prepared for it. So the golden parachutes certainly haven't stopped. They're falling out of the sky on Wall Street. Has one executive on Wall Street been punished? No. Why? Well, let's go to the top. Let's go to Mr. Bush. Mr. Bush says he has the tools. Sure he has the tools, your money and a printing press. Sure, he has the tools. He has a printing press and your tax dollars. That's the tools he has to bail out the CEOs who busted the economy to make it the world safe for Marxism. I don't know, something you could back it up. You say, well, okay, it's all a conspiracy to put Obama in office. You could look at it that way. I'm not so sure it works that way. I think it was Aldous Huxley who wrote, but he copied it from someone. He said, life must be lived forward, but it can only be understood backward. You know what I'm saying? We don't know exactly what's going on. In the future, we might know when some historian could put all the pieces together, but it's going to take probably decades to figure out just exactly what's happening right now. We have to just, you know, swim through this white water together as a nation. But we know that it doesn't seem to make sense. We don't think it's happening by chance. We do know that there's greed, and we all know that we all participated in it to a certain extent. I mean, let's be realistic here. You may say it's the bums on Wall Street, and they are, you know, the obvious examples of the devil. But let's say you bought a house in 2005, and you put in a new bathroom using illegal alien labor. You put in new tile using illegal alien labor. You put in new marble using illegal alien labor. You put in a wine cellar using illegal alien labor. And then you flipped the house and you made 20% on nothing down. Then you took that and you bought a bigger house and you did it again. And you kept doing it. So, you know, you've benefited from it as well. I mean, this is well dispersed throughout the middle classes, which is why there's not such a high outrage in America, because we all know that somehow we're all, you know, involved in it in some way. But on the other hand, when you look at the campaign of McCain, you got to see a guy who doesn't look like he wants to win to me. Why? I told you, he won't go on Limbaugh, won't go on Savage. I don't think he'll go on the Leprechaun. I'm not sure. I don't understand it. The Leprechaun's as middle of the road as you can get. Rush is a Republican booster. You know, okay, nice guy, does the right thing, but he's clearly a front man for the Republican Party. Why McCain won't go on that show is beyond me. I have no idea. It makes no sense. I guess maybe he knows if he went on there, he would win. And they can't have that, because the last thing the Republicans want is the hot potato that they just threw into the Democrats' hands. That's one of the theories I have operating in my head. They want to throw the hot potato of the broken economy and world affairs are like on the brink again. Everywhere you look, Russia, North Korea launching missiles. That maniac psycho pervert shouldn't be there anymore. Everywhere you look, there's a mess. And Iraq will flare up again, as sure as I'm sitting here. The minute the election's over, you'll start to see suicide bombings in Iraq again. And all of these temporary victories with all of the terrible blood, 5,000 men killed, probably 50,000 maimed for life. $1 trillion of our national treasure sucked out to liberate these ungrateful Iraqis will come to nothing. And that's why I say to you, it's pretty hard to believe that the McCain wants to win by the way he's behaving. And then you look at Bush, he gives these speeches that are incomprehensible. He gave one today, I couldn't believe it. Do we have Bush, that he has the tools? Let me hear the tools.
We're a prosperous nation with immense resources and a wide range of tools at our disposal.
A wide range.
We're using these tools aggressively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To bail out as many of the cronies on Wall Street as possible as fast as he can. But, you know, look, I become cynical. Ultimately, I become cynical when things like this happen. And I become more concerned with my digestion than I do with my political realities at a certain point. A man is as much focused on what he ate for lunch as he is on who's running for office. I got to tell you, I had a horrible lunch. To me, it symbolizes America today. I'm eating a lot more junk food than I did in the past. Maybe it's, you know, anxiety. I don't have the patience for restaurants, whatever. I can't sit through anything. I go to a joint called Baja Fresh. I'm renaming it Baja Frio. They have a three taco special. With rice and beans for $6.99, a meat, a steak, they say, a chicken, and a shrimp job. I got to tell you, all ice cold, like it came out of the refrigerator. I didn't even send it back. I figured for $6.99, what do you expect, hot food? All right, on the way out, I went up nicely to the manager, a nice Mexican fellow. They're usually very nice people, and I said to him, look, I don't want to complain, but... You know, the mucho frio. He's all right, I'll check into it. I saw the chef already looking from behind there with a cleaver in his eye. I saw he peeked out. The minute he saw me whispering something to the manager, I saw already the illegal behind the counter. gave a look that if he had the ability, that I think throwing knives would have worked very well for him. I figured let the next person get a hot taco as long as I didn't. But it stank. So there goes number three. Where do you eat? There's nothing left. All right, I ate at home. I ate at home, and I'm eating more meat now, too, because I figure times are so bad, I may as well eat a steak, let my cholesterol, whatever. I don't believe it's necessarily related anyway to coronary artery disease. The more I've studied this for 30 years, the more I'm convinced it isn't. It's whether the cholesterol, really the saturated fats, are oxidized. And what prevents the oxidation of the saturated fats is far more important than how many saturated fats you're eating. And so, therefore, if you're taking your antioxidants like vitamin C and vitamin E and some of the plant sterols, such as blueberries or blueberry compounds from blueberries, I'm giving you an example, and you eat a ton of garlic and onions with your meat, don't even give it a second thought. They're crazy if they want to make you think otherwise. Man has been on the earth for millions of years, with an omnivorous diet. All of a sudden, they told you to eat like a Swahili beekeeper. A Kenyan beekeeper? We're not Kenyan beekeepers. The only reason they ate like that is because they had no food. If they ate the one goat they had in the village, they'd lose the milk. Believe me, if they had a herd of goats, they'd eat the goat milk, the goat meat too. So I'm talking about food. I realize this. I realize you think I'm just being a jokester right now. I'm being a comedic in the political arena for a reason. Because if George Bush can get away with the jokes he's telling, then I figure I'll try it and see if it works. San Francisco Pete, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Savage, you are truly a bright man, and you had me cracked up. This image of Obama on Mount Rushmore.
Well, yeah, and what about Bill Ayers? They could start chiseling him in, too, and Louis Farrakhan, and Reverend Wright. They should start chiseling their edifices into the mountain.
And Nancy's going to have a place on there. You got to hold a place for her.
Oh, right. That's right. The first woman on Mount Rushmore. That's right, Nancy Pelosi. I forgot. It would have been. Where is Hillary Clinton? She disappeared from the scene.
Yeah, she's not happy. Not happy. Hey, I was going to comment on Bush and his Biden language. I think you got the dead on. He, from day one, he has a smirk when he delivers a speech.
He does. He can't stop it. It's as though he's mocking the American people.
Yeah.
Now, did you see him yesterday when he was sitting in a chair and his knees were together?
His knees came together, and he just...
I don't mean to be disrespectful. He's the most powerful man on earth. But did you notice his knees were together?
There is a body language there that...
It looked as though he had to go to the bathroom. It looked like he was holding it in until the conference was over.
And he
I don't know, maybe he's eating foods that have too much liquid in them or something. I don't really know the answer. But a president sitting with his knees together like that, I couldn't believe it. Well, what are you going to say? Is it a little thing, an accident? Who knows? Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Kansas, James, you're on the Savage Nation. Your observations, please.
Yeah, Michael, I noticed the other day, I commented to my wife about the way he was sitting. And
did you see Mr. Bush's knees touching?
Well, yeah, he had one leg kicked off to the side and was kind of wiggling it off to the side there.
Yes, right. I'm telling you, it looked like a nervous child.
The definition of Schmendrick came to mind.
Oh, my God. And he tells us he has the tools to save us now.
Oh, he's lacking the presidential knowledge and the stature and whatever you want to call it on TV. He just doesn't come across very presidential.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. He is the president for another 3 months. I mean, he leaves office January 20th officially. I think what's going to be most telling is who he pardons and who he does not pardon, don't you think?
It's going to be very interesting Christmas for all of us.
Yes, sir, and I thank you for that call. It's 17 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Open Mic to Mike Friday on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. When I come back, I'll take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Yeah.
It is the Savage Nation. And it's Friday, and that's it. I asked the question, where is Bill Frist? Remember Bill Frist was around? He made his fortune in HMOs, and he was a big Republican, big wig. And where is he today? Linda in Medford, Oregon, where is Bill Frist?
Hi.
Where is Bill Frist? You say you know?
Yeah, he's off making Coke commercials with James Carville.
Oh, you're joking. Bill Frist left politics to do commercials?
I don't know, but every time I go to the movies, I see that commercial, and I mean to call Coke and say I'll never drink a Coke again.
Oh, my God in heaven, have they no shame? The answer is no. Thanks for the call. The world's billionaires posted today on MichaelSavage.com from Forbes. Number one, roll the drums, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, age 77, net worth $62 billion. His net worth went up astonishingly over the last year because of the stock of Berkshire Hathaway. Number two, Carlos Slim, Mexico, $60 million. Bill Gates, U.S., $58 billion. Poor guy, he slipped, Bill Gates, you know. It's because he made an offer for Yahoo, I think. Lakshmi Mittal, India, $45 billion. Mukesh Ambani, India, $43 billion. Anil Ambani, India, $42 billion. Ingvar Kamprad, Sweden, $31 billion. KP Singh, India, $30 billion. Oleg Deripaska, Russia, $28 billion. Karl Albrecht, Germany, $27 billion. La Kaching, Hong Kong, $26 billion. Number 12 on the billionaire list, Sheldon Adelson, United States, $26 billion. Good man. Bernard Arnault, France, $25 billion. Larry Ellison, $25 billion, United States. Number 15, Roman Abramovich, Russia, $23 billion. Number 16, Theo Albrecht, Germany, $23 billion. Number 17 on the billionaires list, Lillian Betancourt, France, $22 billion. Alexei Mordashov, Russia, $21 billion. Number 19, Prince Al-Walid bin Talal al-Saud is number 19 at $21 billion, poor man. Mikhail Friedman, number 20, $20 billion. 21 billionaire, 21st richest billionaire. Vladimir Lisin, Russia, $20 billion. Number 22, Amancio Ortega, Spain, $20 billion. 23, Raymond Thomas and Walter Kwok, $19 billion. And number 24, Russian Mikhail Prokhorov. And number 25, Vladimir Potanin, Russia, $19 billion. Now, these are the world's richest people, the world's billionaires. But these are billionaires with publicly traded fortunes. What do they do with the people who have hidden billions, who aren't on the list? How do they calculate that? What are you, going to believe they're the only people with... Teddy, shut up. I'm on the radio. My dog is interrupting the show. Larry Page, U.S., $18 billion. Look at these. These are the paupers down here. Michael Dell, $16 billion. Kirk Kerkorian, number 41 at $16 billion. You know, Kerkorian was a big investor in General Motors about within the last year. He must have taken a shellacking yesterday. Whoa. That's probably an old list. Shashi and Ravi Ruia, India. I don't recognize these people. They're not in the club that I would be a member of. I love Groucho Marx's remark. Any club that would have me as a member, I wouldn't join. You got to hand it to Groucho Marx. There are no comedians on that level anymore, you know? Nah, no way. You can't even get a good taco in America anymore. That's the real problem. Carl Icahn, a mere $14 billion? I love reading these lists. George Kaiser? You know, Soros isn't on this list. It's interesting. I'm looking down the list of, like, you know, by name. And where's George Soros? I'm going to go down to the bottom of the world's richest men. I don't see George Soros on here. Why is that? Net worth, the lowest is $1 billion. Okay, $1.5 billion. That's the last. Oh, there's another page. These are names you never heard of. They're mere billionaires, low billionaires. Here, down on the bottom, page 45, I'm looking, of the world's richest people. And now you go down to $1 billion. That's where the cutoff is. Anyone below $1 billion isn't even mentioned. William Ding, China, $1 billion. Marvin Buzz Oates, $1 billion. Roger Milliken, a bill. Lowell Milliken, $1 billion. Lori Mays, $1 billion. Barbara Hal Marshall, $1 million. Billion, sorry. I don't mean to insult them like that. A lot of these people are not household names, but they live like they should. They made their money, honestly. It's their business what they do with it. They pay taxes. So there it is. I mean, it's amazing how people. What about people who don't have public companies, though, are worth more than this? How would they know? The guys in Queens who have it in wallpaper behind the walls, papered in behind the walls. Where? Why are they not on the list? I want to know. The wallpaper.
Savage. But I had a dog.
I turn off Elvis. I'm not a big Elvis fan. Thanks. Look, the fact of the matter is our society is changing right before our eyes. We don't even know it, but there's no question about it that there's some new method of government that is emerging. And I'm not so sure that it's by accident that the puppeteers have broken the economy. I'm not so sure it's by accident because none of them have gone to jail. None of them have given up a penny. I'm not so sure it's by accident that they don't want to bust out the economy and make people frightened, bring in a demagogue like Obama, and usher in some new method of government that is adapted to the new conditions of America that have arisen over the last 20 years, mainly the influx, for example, of illegal aliens who will probably have more rights than the native-born American in the new administration. There's no question that if you study history, political systems have been in flux from the beginning of historical times. And there have always been changes. The question is, the wide and increasing variety of experiments that have been tried in political and social organizations and what they have produced. For example, in the Soviet Union, you had a monarchy, the king. Then you had the most excessive degeneracy imaginable under the Romanovs, the Romanov dynasty. That led to the popular uprising of the Bolsheviks, the communists, who said that they were for the common man, they were going to bring change to Russia, they were going to be fairer to the average Russian, and they wound up creating mass murder. And at the end of the last century, over 100 million people were killed as a result of the experiment called Marxism. In Cambodia, there was an experiment with Marxism. Pol Pot was a university professor who went to Paris to study Marxism. He came back and he introduced Marxism to Cambodia. He created the Rouge, the guys with the red scarves, the young, the youth. See, he also had a youthful following, Pol Pot. They were very enthusiastic about Pol Pot's plans for Cambodia. And they slaughtered everybody in Cambodia who had eyeglasses as being counter-revolutionary. They killed all the teachers. They killed all of the accountants, all the doctors. That's where the mountains of human skulls came about from change in Cambodia. Nice man. He didn't mean to do it, but he had to clean up Cambodia, and he had to do it with change. And the only way to do it with change was to bring about some radical change through the Khmer Rouge. And if they had to break a few million skulls to do so, well, it was a much better society for those in the Khmer Rouge. So there's been change before. And that's why America needs to go through its experimentation. They must find a new method of government. And that new method of government will no doubt be the gang that couldn't shoot straight in Chicago. And we'll have a much better society when all of the middle classes get along. So in other words, when I say to liberals, the new government could come to you and say, "Hi, Mrs. Jones. You live in a four-bedroom house with your husband. Is that correct?" "Yes." "The children have left?" "Yes." "So it's only the two of you in your house, and you have four bedrooms?" "Yes." "Okay, well, for the sake of the new Obama government, where things are much more fair, we're not going to seize your property. Don't worry about that. We're just temporarily going to use that empty space for the betterment of the new America, the change you wanted. And we're going to put two illegal aliens in one bedroom, with their children, of course. And in the other bedroom, we're going to take two people who are just out of a halfway house who have some problems with substance abuse, and they're going to be living in your other bedroom. Now, you don't object to that, do you? Because we're not taking those bedrooms from you, Mrs. Jones. In the new Obama America, we're going to simply utilize what is essence wasted. It's wasted, and you don't want to waste energy because we all know global warming is caused by a waste of energy and waste of space. And, of course, we understand you have a vacation house up on the lake that you're only in a few weeks a year, and that's not fair. And we only want what's fair for America, don't we, Mrs. Jones? After all, you remember the Democrat Party. You were one of the supporters for me when I started to run, right, Mrs. Jones? Right. So we're going to take that summer house and we're going to turn it into a halfway house for people with sexual and substance abuse problems. Of course, we're not going to take it from you. We're only going to use it temporarily in the new Obama government because we want to do what's fair for the new America. We want to do things in America that were never done before. We want to experiment, and we want to make sure that this experiment brings about fairness in the new world order. This is the Savage Nation. I've just been having some fun with some musings. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's drop the McCain calls already of what he has to do to win, because if he could do it, he would have done it already. So, in a sense, the great American experiment has failed. Well, certainly, the great American experiment with laissez-faire capitalism has failed. George Bush preached laissez-faire capitalism in a way it was never meant to be practiced, which was no regulation whatsoever. And he had idiots in the media, so-called conservative talkers, who were saying, well, it's a free market. I used to argue with you. I had people on this show arguing with me, telling me about free market. They didn't know what they were talking about. It wasn't a free market. It was an imbalanced market. It was a monopoly set up that way. So laissez-faire capitalism is dead. But in a sense, that experiment of how far laissez-faire capitalism can go still remains unfinished. In fact, America is still working out the riddles of how to run a country. Do you know that? We're still working out the riddles of how to run a country. And that's why we're going through this change right now. We're taking a gamble. We're taking a gamble on Barack Hussein Obama. It doesn't matter that he doesn't have a birth certificate. It doesn't matter that he may not be an American citizen. It doesn't matter that he sat in a church for 20 years where a preacher preached the most vile hatred you can imagine. Hatred towards whites, hatred towards American. Because that's when he was younger. It doesn't matter that he associates with known terrorists who plotted blowing up the Pentagon and said they didn't do enough. That doesn't matter, because the important thing is that he's a young man who speaks well and can bring about change. And after all, we're Americans, and we Americans, we like change. We like to try new things. And so there it goes. Times, they are changing. I know which way the wind blows. Play Bob Dylan, The Times They Are Changing. I'm in the mood for Bob Dylan, The Times. And then we'll talk about the Franks, the Vandals, the Visigoths, and the fall of the Roman Empire as the Vandals take over the White House.
Privatize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming, for the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
The loser now will be the win, the times they are a-changing. So that's what's coming. The losers are going to become the winners, and the winners are going to become the losers, and you're going to give up your property, possibly even many of your freedoms under the new world order of Obama. There's no question in my mind that's what's coming. It won't be overt, and it won't be overnight, but as sure as I'm standing here, that's what's coming. That's right. You, the white male in particular, have been targeted. But you've been targeted now for 30 years by the social engineers. And don't think it was just the Democrats, because affirmative action has been practiced by George Bush and the Republicans, who have done nothing to throw that out the window. You ask any cop, you ask any fireman, you ask any civil servant who gets 100 on a written exam and winds up at the back of the class because he was born a white man. Don't tell me that there hasn't been a misappropriation of talent in this country. That's why the country's falling apart. You got dummies in every position you can imagine. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but they're not qualified for most of the jobs they've been given. And if you think I'm saying what I'm saying, you're right, I am saying it. And that's exactly why the country's falling apart and why the wheels fell off. Because the most qualified men in America who did so, who won those positions, who proved their intelligence, and who did it through hard work, were pushed aside by the liberal socialist empire that has been rebuilt in front of your own eyes. And the unqualified women and minorities who scored lower on them on civil service tests are to this day given the jobs that should have gone to the man who scored the highest. And that's why everything's falling apart in this country. And don't think I don't know it. This is the Savage Nation. I see it and I know it. And I'm the only one saying it. And if you think I'm afraid to say it, you're mistaken. I'll say it till they turn the microphone off. I'll say it till they take the electrons out of the airwaves. I'll say it until there's no talk radio. I'll say it until the show goes dark and they replace it with urban music. It doesn't matter to me. I'll keep speaking truth to power until the last day I speak on this program. And let me tell you something else. I had a long talk with my syndicator today, and he's an independent. Lucky for him and lucky for me, we're both independents. We're actually thriving. We never did better. We're actually going to be the last group standing, maybe, in the talk radio business. I'm telling you, I see what's coming. Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. San Diego, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I need your help. I feel like I'm living a surreal nightmare that I keep hoping I'm going to wake up from. It's everything you've said. I've been listening to you for 7 years. Everything you've said, everything you feared is happening right now, right before our eyes, in the last 2 months.
Okay. Look, I don't want to just milk you for what you're saying. I've said a lot of things. Give me the specifics in a general manner.
Well, we're losing our country. We don't have a government, or we have some sort of a shadow government, or who knows?
Yes, it's as though the government has abdicated, and they're not there, and somebody else is pulling the strings. Yes, we all feel that.
Well, I have a question. There's 10 million people listening to you and me right now. Thank God for you for doing what you're doing. Remember how the Democrats forfeited their delegates in Florida and Michigan during the primaries, and they later tried to change the rules, screaming it wasn't fair to the voters who
yes.
wouldn't be represented? If
yes.
we, the people, feel like we do not have a candidate to represent our interests right now in this John McCain, then why can't we do something? What's fair for us? We need a candidate who will fight for our values and fight for this country. We're losing our democracy.
But John McCain won't even appear on the Rush Limbaugh show, and he's as centrist Republican as you can get. So what does that tell you? McCain is either throwing the election or he is unqualified to lead the country if he doesn't understand that his base will not come out for him. You know, or it's actually more cynical than that. I have a worse feeling about the Republicans. I actually believe that their calculation is that the white male who McCain spits on, the white male conservative who McCain spits on, is going to vote for McCain simply because they're racists and they will not vote for Obama. I pray to God that that's not their calculation, but I have a fear it might be.
I'm not even sure where to go with that, but that's an interesting theory. But let me ask you this. Are you hearing some of this latest stuff about Obama that terrifies me? Like this connection with this radical Marxist radical Islam connected politician who claims he's Obama's first cousin, Odinga?
Yeah, of course. Of course. The Corsi book, Kenya, the man who went there to find out Obama's connections to the Kenya Marxist who was detained and kicked out of the country to try to find out some of Obama's roots and why they're so obscure, because they cannot be traced to a birth certificate in Hawaii, and it may not, in fact, be a U.S. citizen. Yeah, I read all of this stuff. But we're getting down to the wire, and with a little help from vermin like Larry King, nobody will hear any of this. You understand that. So let's go back to everything Savage said is coming true. Borders, language, culture. George Bush melted down our borders with Mexico for many different reasons, primarily for cheap labor and a better profit margin. He stood nowhere with us on the cultural issues, did he?
No.
Well, does McCain differ from him? Why has McCain not addressed any of the cultural issues that all of us are facing every day? Why does he avoid them? Why does he permit himself to go to interviews and not discuss? Forget borders. We know where he stands. He's an open borders man. Okay? But we can swallow that for the moment and fight him later on that. Why does he not take our side on cultural issues that have been unleashed upon this country? Why is McCain absent on those?
Why won't he attack Obama every time Obama blames Bush and the Republicans for this economic breakdown?
Because I think that McCain is a punching bag. I think McCain is a fall guy. I think McCain was put up there as a tough old guy who can take an unlimited amount of punishment, and he was put up there simply to take a beating and lose.
Can I ask you this last question? Can't we, 10 million people, 30 million people approximately listening to talk radio, can't we demand that we're hearing about voter fraud in Ohio, there's an investigation going on into the Democrats who caused this financial crisis, can't we put a halt to the election and say we have to have more information on
no,
who caused
no, it? No, we don't control anything. We have no power. We're peons. We are nothing. We're peons. We have no power. We do not have a representative government. Remember that. The parliamentary system of the type you see in England, for example, would have a conservative wing of a conservative party. Let's say there's 100 seats, to give you an idea. Let's say 100 seats. So let's say the conservative movement in America today, although diminished, is still active somewhere, meaning there's probably 20, 30 million real conservatives in the country. We might have 20, 30 seats out of 100. Do you understand it's an all-or-nothing system so that we have been pushed out of the way by George Bush and the Republican bankers so that only the bankers' interests are represented by the Republican Party? And therefore, any other interests, whether it be cultural, social, you name it, are of no meaning to them. The only interests they have are financial. Then you have the other side. There's a whole spectrum of left-wing parties that would have seats at the table in a parliamentary system, all the way from the splinter groups like the communists, all the way through to the conservative Democrats. We don't have a parliamentary system in this country. We have an all-or-nothing system where two gangs run the entire show, and the rest of us can just eat crow.
Dr. Savage, do you have the...
But that's why I am intending, with God's help and the support of my listeners, over the next year, it's going to take me that long, I'm going to try to put together the framework for a third party that is viable. There are third parties, but they've never gone anywhere. And the reason they've never gone anywhere is they don't have a charismatic leader like me. I am charismatic enough, and I have enough of an audience, I think, to do this. And I'm exploring the possibility of creating a third party. Mike, we can't do anything about this election. It's over. It's done. It's over. Mike, but I'm going to give you a consolation prize. Name one story you can't wait to read in Psychological Nudity.
Oh, I want to read about the one where you were making love next to the power plant. What was that one?
love next to a sewer plant?
Exactly.
Why does that strike your fancy?
Oh, it just sounds like it'd be a fun story to read.
It's actually very innocent. It's a very innocent. It's a very innocent story. There's not a dirty word in the whole book. There's not one F word. There's not one B word. There's not one dirty word in my book. Would you believe it? I found out that humor does not require filth. I'm not from Hollywood. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So McCain blames Wall Street, and he advocates reaching across the aisle to the Democrats. He doesn't really blame the Democrats. He doesn't say a word about Barney Hank. He doesn't say a word about Chris Dodd's corruption. He doesn't say anything about the crooks at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. He says he wants to reach across the aisle, and what he gets from the other aisle is a knife in the back from the other side of the aisle. And there it is. So many voters say it's a foregone conclusion that he's thrown in the towel. I think he's thrown in the towel. That's what it looks like to me. He's going through the paces. So get ready for the experiment. Get ready for the Obama experiment, because we have no idea who he is. We have no idea what he's going to do. And we have no idea how this ends up, this little experiment of change. As I said, the Bolsheviks came to power in Russia. Everyone's using the Hitler analogy of a man talked about change and it was Hitler and all. I heard all of that. It's not about that. He's closer to the Bolsheviks, who took advantage of the excesses of the Gilded Age of the Romanov dynasty in Russia. That's what we see, is the pigs on Wall Street are more closely approximate the Romanovs than they do the Romanovs of Russia than anyone else. Of course, there was no middle class in Russia at that time, so the analogy falls apart when you try to make it a complete analogy. It doesn't work. But in the broad sweep of things, I would say the pigs on Wall Street are living like the Romanovs lived under the Tsar of Russia, Tsar Alexander. And you know how that ended up when the Bolsheviks came along with change, and they promised change. The Tsar and his family, his wife and daughters, were executed by the peace-loving people who brought in change to Russia. They shot them all. Then, of course, they introduced slave labor, because that was part of change. And it was only fair that people be put into slave labor. After all, they had enjoyed themselves for a long while, and even though they didn't do anything evil, they needed to help to change.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Americans are concerned about the adjustments that are taking place in our financial markets.
We're not in a recession. We're in challenging times.
To strengthen our economy.
We've taken strong and decisive action.
We're in a slowdown. The American economy will continue to rely largely on oil.
We grew in the fourth quarter last year. Please excuse me if I'm a little sleepy. 3 a.m. this morning, the red phone rang. But there's no question we're in a slowdown.
Definitely some storm clouds and concerns.
A slowdown.
But the underpinning is good. And we'll work our way through this period.
We're not in a recession. Slow down.
Strengthen our economy.
Mm-hmm. Now some rock and roll. That's all.
I want to be the leader, leader of the group. You'll never find me singing. I want to sing the words that's written in my heart.
So Larry King, the lowest of the lowest sewer rats in the media, has Michelle Obama on, and he pretends he's asking her about Bill Ayers. Instead, they switch it to the Annenbergs, and Larry thinks that his suspenders are going to save him from the wrath of the people. He's wrong. Larry, you are a sewer rat. Larry, how can you live with yourself, Larry? Larry, how can you do this to yourself? You got to listen to this clip. Listen to clip 14.
Do you know William Ayers?
Yes, yes, yes. Barack served on the board of the Annenberg Challenge with Bill Ayers, and
I was started by the Annenberg family.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And,
oh yeah. Now let's start. So you hear this? This is Larry King. Oh, now started by the Annenberg family. Like it's something good. What does that mean, Larry? Larry, how did you become such a panderer to such evil? It's amazing to me what this man will do to establish the fact that he's the lowest man in the media, Larry King. But if you actually analyze the connection between Obama and Bill Ayers, which is pretty clear, we linked it up from commentary on michaelsavage.com. Please read the article. I can't do it all in these segments that I have. I can't even get on my own website. We have so much traffic this week. I need a bigger pipeline. I can't get on my own website. I'm trying. Comes up white. I'll try it again. I'm trying to get the article up. All right, forget about it. There it is. Didn't come up. Everyone's hitting the article. The article is Obama is the weatherman, linked up on michaelsavage.com on the left side. And it shows distinctly that Obama worked with Bill Ayers, with Annenberg money, it is true, but they didn't work to create nurseries for children. They did not work to create nurseries for little children. No, Bill Ayers and Obama were wed at the hip. They were joined at the hip, so to speak. And they were not working joined together to create nursery schools for children. They were working together to create left-wing problems for the police, left-wing problems for America. And I suggest you read it on my website because I'm not going to quote the article. It's fabulous. It's simply fabulous. But for Larry King to try to do this the way he did it, and you hear Michelle Obama taking in a deep breath as she puts out the big lie. Listen to clip 14 again. I want you to listen
to
the clip.
Yes. Barack served on the board of the Annenberg Challenge with Bill Ayers. And
that was started by the Annenberg family.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And Mrs. Annenberg, yeah. In fact.
Hey, Larry, where'd you get that
McCain?
Voice, Larry? You think it's related to the truth?
I don't know anyone in Chicago.
Larry,
who's
stop.
Involved.
Shut her up. Larry, you think because you got a deep voice, you're telling the truth, Larry? Larry, you're shunned to your people, Larry. Listen to clip 17.
What doesn't he know?
You know, whatever he doesn't know, the beauty is he knows he doesn't know it.
Isn't that wonderful? A Zen-like president. That is terrific. Well, he'll leave it to people who do know things. He'll leave it to all the Marxists and communists around himself to take care of you, the middle class. And he'll make believe he doesn't know it when I say to him, Barack, do you know what's going on in San Francisco with the conservatives? I don't want to know it because the beauty is that I know what I don't know and I don't want to know it. Don't tell me about it. Don't put it in writing. I don't want to hear it. I've never seen such. I can understand that the liberals in the media don't like John McCain. They don't like Republicans. But I've never seen them so biased as they are now. I've never seen anything quite like this. Then you wake up this morning and Louis Farrakhan speaking at the Nation of Islam Savior's Day conference calls Barack Obama the Messiah, basically. Listen to clip 20 now.
You are the instruments that God is going to use to bring
about. Instruments? Hold on. Wait a minute. If he was in my 7th grade class, it would say, Louis, it's instrument, singular. You cannot be an instruments. I know he was once a musician. I know he gets confused, but how can Barack be instruments? He's an instrument that God is going to use. But all right, look, we don't expect literacy in certain quarters of American political operatives. But he says that Obama's the instruments that God is going to use to bring about universal change. And that's why Barack has captured the youth. That's why Barack has captured the youth. Well, which youth are we talking about? There was another charismatic leader in Germany in the 30s who captured the youth of Germany. Put them in little shorts, Tyrolean outfits. He captured the youth, too. He gave them hope. He gave them a hope for change. And the Hitler Youth went about beating up innocent people, getting them in line. I hope that's not the kind of youth that Barack has captured. I really do. I hope that the militant youth that now is in love with Obama don't become the, SA? Because if I use the actual designation of it, you'll say I'm racist. So we'll just use the word SA. The essay went around, and they were also youth. They were youth. They were militant youth who wanted change in Germany. They wanted to clean up Germany. They wanted the money changers of Germany gotten rid of. So they killed the Jews. They put them in concentration camps. They killed the communists, the Jews, the trade unionists, the Jesuits, a whole slew of people that were not belonging in Germany because they believed in change and they wanted hope. Play the Hitler clip so they know who I'm talking about. All right, turn it on. It doesn't fit. No. He's not. The approximation is not Hitler. Obama's not Hitler. The closer analogy is the Bolshevik Revolution of Russia after the excesses of the Romanov dynasty. You know, that sequence. But I'm talking about a historical time. No one even knows who I'm talking about. President Bush talks about the government's bailout of financial institutions. This is today. This is amazing. Oh, no, we won't play that. John McCain talks about Acorn. It's too late for Acorn. We know there's voter fraud. We know they're signing up the dead. We know the liberals are signing up the dead. Well, what's new under the sun? In Chicago, they used to give out bottles of cherry brandy or $5 bills to get people to vote. So what's new about signing up the dead and the homeless? What, that's new to Chicago politics? You're shocked that they're bringing people across the border from Illinois to another surrounding state. Nothing new under the sun. Listen to Cindy McCain, though, in clip 13. That's not a bad one. Play 13.
The day that Senator Obama decided to cast a vote to not fund my son when he was serving sent a cold chill through my body. Let me tell you. I would suggest that Senator Obama change shoes with me for just one day.
You look good in Manolos, I got to admit.
See what it means to have a loved ones serving in the armed forces and, more importantly, serving in harm's way.
Is she accusing Obama of being a cross-dresser? Was that a subtle? Is there some kind of undertone in that one? She's no dummy, you know. When she asked him to change shoes with her for just one day, is there a subtle? Because they're saying that any criticism of Obama is subtle racism. That's the new liberal thing in the media. Anytime you criticize him, you're a crypto racist. So I guess you could say that Cindy is calling him, light in the loafers there, saying I want him to change shoes with me one day. I guess tomorrow they'll say that Cindy implied that Obama was gay. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You don't remember me, but I remember you. 'Twas not so long ago.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Let's look at Connecticut, what they just did. The people voted to declare that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's the people. In other words, the people spoke. The right to govern themselves is granted by the Constitution. And yet four perverted Supreme Court perverts in black robes said drop dead to the people. And they said that homosexuals can get married in Connecticut. Now, I want you to analyze this. The people have spoken through a ballot initiative. They followed the rules. They didn't shoot anybody. They didn't cause an insurrection. They didn't burn down a state capitol. They went and voted. And they said that marriage is between a man and a woman. They said we want to govern ourselves, and in our state we do not want marriage to be anything but that between a man and a woman. And yet four rotten, stinking judges in black robes have said drop dead to the people, and that the people have no right to rule themselves. The people have no right to govern themselves. But they shall be governed by four rotten stinkers in black robes. Now, that's a dictatorship. Here's a dictatorship of four rats like we had in California. Four stinking rats in black robes overrode the votes of the people of the state of California. So come a few days from now, a few weeks from now, we're going to vote in California on homosexual marriage here. And I suspect that the people will say, finally, no to homosexual marriage here. That's my guess. And I have a fear that the four rats planted by the pornographers and the gay mafia will again come out and say drop dead to the people. I don't know how much longer this is going to go on in the country until radical things start to happen. I have a feeling that people are going to snap after this loss of money. I don't think they're going to take it anymore. They know that the government is corrupt. They understand that the leaders are rotten and corrupt and thieves. And now they're telling them they can't even have the dignity of their own religious beliefs. They can't even practice their own social beliefs. No, I don't think that this government's going to have a very nice time if they keep this up. So there it is. That's Connecticut. The ancient definition of marriage is the union of one man and one woman. Has its basis in history, biology, evolution. But because the gay mafia is so powerful, because the gays are inordinately wealthy and have bought politicians from Maine to California, it's now come down to a few rotten, stinking, corrupt lawyers in black robes to deny the people of the state of Connecticut now their right to self-govern. In other words, the laws of the land, the laws of our Constitution have now been thrown out the window by four judges who have discriminated against the people. They say that the law discriminates by limiting marriage to heterosexual couples. That's because the devil speaks with a forked tongue. It's the exact opposite. No, four rotten, stinking, corrupt lawyers in black robes called judges have discriminated against millions of people in the state of Connecticut and said to them, take your religion and shove it up you know where. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. John, New York, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, about Barack being Hitler, the comparison is offensive. I mean, it's a black...
Well, I didn't use a comparison to Hitler. I said it's a comparison to the Bolshevik Revolution, if you listen carefully.
You led into it, and then you just...
No, I didn't. I said there is no comparison between Barack and Hitler. I said the comparison is more apt to the Bolsheviks who took over Russia. That's what I said.
I think what you're missing is Barack is the embodiment of the American dream. He's the best.
Whose American dream? Not my American dream. I didn't use affirmative action to get where I am.
Educated, well
outspoken, very motivational.
Wait a minute. He got ahead through affirmative action. He got ahead through bias in the government. He got ahead because people felt guilty. I got ahead because I overrode every one of the social engineers who stood in my way. So don't tell me he represents the American dream. He represents a distortion of the American dream.
Well, he definitely didn't get ahead because of nepotism. So,
well, now you're switching the argument. I know there's nepotism, which I disapprove of because I don't come from a wealthy background. But I don't approve of state-imposed nepotism.
Well, like I said, I think I'm going to vote for Barack, and I hope he does, I hope he does.
Well, I understand. A lot of people are going to vote for Obama, and a lot of people are going to vote for McCain. I think Obama's going to win because McCain is a fall guy. But I don't think you're going to get what you wish for, number one. See, many of you have hope that Obama really represents change, but he represents the Chicago political machinery. How do you expect to benefit? How do you let's put aside our differences, John, for a minute. How do you expect to benefit from an Obama presidency? I'm curious.
Well, I already have income coming in. So the whole thing is the whole feeling of the country. I travel. If you go to Sweden, it's a more they're really looking out for each other. And they're not, in your face about it. I think if it's a more easy...
Looking out for each other, they're being overrun by Muslims. There are cities that the police can't even go into in Sweden. Looking out for each other, they basically were a Viking nation that had become a nation of patsies and been rolled over by the Muslim invasion. What do you mean looking out for each other? Go to Norway. Go to these ex-Viking nations. They become degenerates. The whole countries have disappeared because of degeneracy, because of sexual excess and drug usage.
Okay to me. All right, that's all I had to say.
All right, well, look, good luck. I hope you benefit from the New World Order. I don't think you will. See, this is another thing that people don't understand, is they think there's going to be some kind of trickle-down Obama effect. I don't know what they're thinking is going to happen. Do they think he's Robin Hood, is going to take from the rich and give to the poor? The rich are behind him, kids. I mean, good luck to you if you think you're going to benefit from it. Let me ask you something. Nancy Pelosi is the top Democrat in the country. She's the wealthiest Democrat in the nation, or I believe in the top three. Actually, I think it's Harmon from Southern California who's the wealthiest. But Nancy Pelosi is one of the wealthiest women in the world. She's certainly the most wealthy Democrat. Now, do you actually think that she wants higher taxes? Do you actually think Nancy Pelosi wants to pay more money and give it to the poor? Do you actually believe that rubbish? Do you actually believe that the rich, the billionaires behind Barack Hussein Obama, want to pay more money to the poor so they can have a better life? How naive can you be? It's so that they can sack the Treasury more so than the Republicans have done so. That's one man's opinion. The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Hey, na ni ding dong, a lang a lang a lang, boom ba lo, ba do ba do ba bay.
Oh, life could be a dream.
When I was young, who paid attention to politics? Welcome back to the show. Who cared? I knew, like old men in gray suits. I paid no attention to it. The average man, really, in a way, doesn't pay that much attention to politics, truthfully. It's just right now, the average person is paying a lot of attention to politics because of the financial collapse brought about by the greed of Wall Street. Let's not look any further than that. The bubble burst because of greed. No one's gone to jail yet. Not one of the crooks on Wall Street has been perp walked. Not one. Now, you have to ask yourself why, with all the hearings and the guy with the big nostrils, whatever his name is, Wasserman, I don't know his name, Edelman, what's his name? Waxman. I call him Nostrilman for identification purposes only. Sound and fury of Nostrilman. Did he arrest anybody? Nothing. It's all rubbish. It's show trials. We're living in a closed society. It may as well be communist China. The only thing missing is slave labor camps and taking the kidneys out of political prisoners. Otherwise, we're living in a communist society already. The government media complex is so overwhelming that I don't know how I even exist. I shocked myself with the truth that I put out here. I'm shocked that I'm able to tell you the truth like this. It's stunning. While blueberries take antioxidant crown, look, even when Obama becomes dictator, president of the new Marxist world order, and they try to ban talk radio, which I doubt they're going to be able to do. It'll take many years because we'll sue them. We'll fight them to the Supreme Court. It'll take years. I'm not leaving so fast. They'll still be michaelsavage.com as long as I'm here. And I am creating a third party. I have three lawyers registering and domain names. Don't ask. And we'll have this going. I mean, everything I try to do, I've succeeded at, with the exception of those things that the government prohibited me from doing. Wild blueberries take antioxidant crown. That's bottom left on michaelsavage.com. The South Park episode is up there, showing Steven Spielberg and George Lucas raping Indiana Jones. Oh, God. Oh, my God. They really have it in for them. Austin Powers actor charged in unsolved gang rape. Wow. Soldier punished in beating of Jewish trainee. This is really an amazing story. It's horrible. An Army trainee will face non-judicial punishment rather than criminal charges for beating a Jewish soldier so badly he was treated by a hospital. Now, it was clearly a hate crime, but the military is sweeping that under the rug at Fort Benning, Georgia, and I think there should be a federal investigation. We cannot have racism, this kind of naked racism, in the military. They will not even identify the soldier who beat up the Jewish kid with the yarmulke. But he beat him up by calling him Jewish names and this and that. That's not racism? Books have arrived from printer. Click here to see contents. That's my website, so... Savage Radio stories include The Electric Blue Saddle, Stitched Pants, Fat Al's Tuna, Nutty Friend, and Crazy Mother, Coney Island Wax Figures, Dead Man's Pants, Tippy the Mad Dog, Woodchuck Bill, Fiji Islands, Happy and Sad Cufflinks, When Pasta Was Spaghetti, First Autopsy, Working on a Cruise Line, Talking to a Bum About God, Loved by the Sewer Plant, Mama Savage Calls, From Immigrant Son to Radio Stardom, plus many more of your favorites that you've heard over the years on the Savage Nation. Savage will grip you with insightful political commentaries that include what if John McCain's middle name was Jesus, the medical reason why liberalism is a mental disorder, bring the troops home from Iraq and put them on the border with Mexico, make Iraq pay for their liberation with oil, debunking man-induced global warming, Republicans should treat voters like restaurant customers, the invented Obama and Savage for president. This special collection of Michael stories is certain to delight his regular listeners and their families for years to come. It is. It's all true, and they're good. So I recommend that you get on the line for one. And those of you who ordered them, they're going to be shipped, I think, by Tuesday. They're going to go out to you. So I you know, some of you might get them. I'll tell you, I'm going to make a deal right now. The first person to actually get a hard copy of my book and call the show will win a free copy. That's all. I haven't gotten one. The printer didn't even send me one. Would you believe this? I'm calling for 3 days. They said they shipped them to the fulfillment house. I said, you ship me one? No. You hear this? I don't even have a book in my hands. You talk about no respect here. Nothing works right. I go in for the three taco special, as I said earlier, in Baja Frio. They call it Baja Fresh. I run a special. I try it, three for $6.99 with the rice and beans. I wanted the rice and beans. I figure I may as well learn to eat the way my illegal alien friends eat. I may as well eat their kind of diet. I got the pointy boots, the sombrero, and I have the rudiments of Spanish. I'll forget English as fast as I can. I don't want to be seen as a gringo Anglo-racist in the New World Order. So I went into Baja Fresh. So there was like three tacos for $6.99 a special. Beef? They say steak. Okay, steak. Yeah. A steak taco, a chicken taco, and a shrimp taco, and rice and beans. Whoa, my God. Baja Frio, Johnson. Cold. Cold as Michelle Obama's toe, man. That stuff was bad. The steak tasted tasteless. The chicken had, you know, pineapple on it. Who in the heck came up with pineapple on food? Where'd that come from? I like pineapple after a Chinese meal. I used to give it in Queens in the 50s. You know they were ahead of their times? Because pineapple contains... if I remember correctly, betaine, which helps dissolve fat, break down fats. They were smart in the 50s. They knew everything. Of course, they had those greasy noodles that caused all the heart attack. I mean, the cemeteries from the border of Queens all the way out to Riverhead are filled with poor men who ate those Chinese meals, those greasy noodles. What were they made of? Like chicken rind, chicken fat. They didn't know what they were eating. What did they know? Food. They gave them spare ribs they ate. Egg drop soup. What horrible food. That's not Chinese food. That's Chinese food for American taste. You know, I told you that. I eat Chinese food. Hakka Chinese is Chinese food. Hakka, don't hack me a Chinook. Hakka, it's excellent. Really, you have to know. There's one place in the whole city that has it. The best in the world. New York doesn't have it. In the whole city, they don't have it. But they had pineapple, I'm getting at, in those Chinese restaurants in the 50s. They gave you a ring of pineapple with a little umbrella on it. Remember those days? Now there's no dessert. They give you those lard cookies. I don't eat them. So I go to a taco joint today. Why did they have to put pineapple on it? Immediately I threw it off there. There was nothing under there. A little slab of pineapple. There was not even chicken. There wasn't even a chicken beak. The chicken beak wasn't even in there. So that I pushed aside. The steak had two little scraps. And there were four little shrimp. They looked like sewer shrimp grown somewhere in India or China in a special mixture, an admixture of human waste and potash. And ice cold. Thank God it was all ice cold. I didn't even eat it. I wrapped it up and threw it in the garbage and walked out. So I'm not. I don't know if I can continue trying it. I need to make up for it tonight. I need a regular meal somewhere. I have to go to a regular restaurant. Like I got to get Euro food somewhere, like meat and potatoes. That's my prediction, trend-wise. America's going to go back to comfort food. Meat and potatoes is coming back. What your father ate and you laughed at, you're going to be eating very soon. Why? Value for the money. Large slabs of greasy meat with gravy and potatoes. And a little bits of vegetable. You're going to go back to what your father ate that killed him. But because you take vitamins and you jog, so you'll make up for a little bit. Cut down on the grease. Just lay off the gravy. Change the proportion of vegetables and potato. Don't take mashed potatoes. Don't ever eat them. They're poison. Did you ever see mashed potatoes the next day in a container? Did you ever see what it's like? It's like mortar in a brick wall. Do you want to put that in your body? I mean, mashed potatoes look good, they smell good, they feel good, they taste good. But you just leave them in the refrigerator overnight, see what it is the next day. If you have to, like, if your stucco falls off your house, you got a perfect mixture. Just add hot water. Eat a baked potato, no butter. Try it with the meat. And take a lot of vitamin C, a lot of vitamin E. You live 8.9 years longer. You could suffer even longer under Obama, who'll be president for the next 90 years. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Incumbent party loses during economic turmoil, history shows. I don't care anymore. I'm indifferent. I know who he is. I know exactly who he is. The Republicans have thrown the election. They've so raped the Treasury. They have so drunk on the... They don't know what to do with their money. The only thing left for them to take now is the granaries. If you study history, the invading army sacks the Treasury. They take, like, the gold. Then they sack the granaries. Then they take the women away as slaves. All right, the Republicans aren't going to do that. They're not going to take your wife and your children away. All right, they'll leave alone. After all, they carry a Bible around every once in a while. But the granaries are still left. They haven't yet sacked the granaries and gotten rid of our food stores and sold them off to China. You know, maybe they can get as much of it over to China as fast as possible so we'll have a famine in America next and outright starvation. Who knows? They got to get money from somewhere. We have nothing. So they have wheat. We have corn. That's natural products. I know we're exporting as fast as possible to China and India, the hungry nations. And so therefore, the Republicans could sack the granaries next. And we could easily see starvation in the streets in this country. You mean it can't happen here? Oh, really? We're once the breadbasket of the world? Now we're the basket case of the world. America went from the breadbasket of the world under George Bush and the Republican gangsters, along with the Democrat maniacs, into the basket case of the world. Baja Frio, that's the new name of it. It's like Outback I went into. I haven't gone in a year. I try chain restaurants because they're informal. You don't have to talk. But in Outback, they have those lamps that swing over your eyes. I feel like I'm in Dragnet. They placed it exactly. The Aussies, maybe they're taller. That could explain it. Jeans, I don't know. The criminals were taller. Who knows? Because the lamps in Outback chains hit me right in the eye. I can't even eat. I have to turn the bulb off. I feel like that guy in The Godfather who twists the light bulb. I got to get a napkin every time I'm in there. When the waitress isn't looking, the waitress with the rings on every finger and in the ears, the nymphos who work there at night. They're nice kids, basically. As long as they don't touch your food, what do you care what they do at night? It's your business. There's people that have trouble, so they can't get a regular job. I found out that usually the ones with the most earrings are sweetest. It's sad in a way. They were probably abused by their fathers or their uncles. Who knows what? So they think they're goths or whatever with the earrings. And they're usually very compliant. They're nice. They're like born to serve you a potato and a bad steak and horrible Australian beer. But I liked it for a while. But the lamps got to me. I had to turn the light off. Then the portions got smaller. Smaller and smaller. You add up the bill, $75 for two meals in Outback. So I renamed that chain Back Out. That's all. I renamed Baja, whatever. Baja, what is it called? Fresh to Baja Frio. I'm very good at names. There's an Italian chain here in the Bay Area. Soon will get a new name for me because I have such wonderful, nice personnel who like hate dogs. I'll give them a new name that'll stick pretty good. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation. I feel strong again. I feel like my energy came back to me yesterday when I said I'm going to form a third party. This is actually the first full three-hour show I've done in a month since I've been sick. It's amazing what psychic energy really is and how the mind can control so much. You have to have a reason to live. I have a new reason to live. Please go to michaelsavage.com tonight and over the weekend. On the top left, it says Savage to form a third party, and you can listen to yesterday's monologue. And then under it is Reed Savage's Plan for America. You know, I can goof around, but I have some very good ideas down there, and you'll see them. They're actually well thought out. So there's benefits to a bad economy. Like, I have Hemings Motor News in my hand. February 2008. What month? Or like, beginning of the year. Prices, you know, are going to drop on so many of these cars. And I'm a car, you know, a bit of a car fancier. I know it's... A lot of people, you can't just see PC. Yeah, well, I love cars. It's really the essence of America and my teen years and everything else. And I'm certainly not alone in it. But the fact of the matter is, you look at the prices from Hemmings a year ago, and then look a year from now and see what you're going to be able to buy if you're a car collector. Or houses. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal on housing, and a man who predicted the Japanese downturn and all of that. He says that houses will correct to about 2005. And when you think about it, it actually makes sense. People bought houses. The peak was 2006, they say, in housing in America, like overall. So if you bought after 06, you're screwed, Johnson. That's it. You're never going to get it back unless you're a member of Acorn or you work for Obama. But he says it's going to correct to 2005. I actually think houses will correct to 02 before the bubble, before it settles down again. I don't think it's 05. I think it's 02 for the general population. I know there are pockets that haven't gone down at all. Like, you look at areas with very wealthy areas, and there are pockets of houses 20 million and up. They haven't seemed to be affected at all. I'm looking at the high end. I don't see much of an effect yet. So you say, how could that be? How come the billionaires who are, you know, losing so much, how come their properties haven't come down? The answer is there's never been so much wealth in so few hands as now. Never. And they can ride it out. Doesn't matter how many houses they own. They don't have to sell it. It was the same as during the Great Depression. Many middle-class people lost their property. Farmers were thrown off their farms because they were living hand-to-mouth. But the very rich in America, they by and large did not sell anything. They held it through the Great Depression and waited for prices to rise again 5-10 years later. It just didn't matter to them. And that's what's happening right now. So you see regions of Florida, from, let us say, Delray, Boca Raton, all the way up to Palm Beach. Houses haven't come down on the beach. Inland, yes, but on the beachfront houses, they're holding the line. Are there buyers? No, but they'll sit empty for 5 years before they'll sell them. And it's the same in many other enclaves. I mean, I study property very carefully. It's one of my hobbies. Real estate happens to be a hobby of mine. I know an awful lot about it. I never talk about it. But I know I study real estate. I have for the last 30 years. And I have a certain amount of knowledge of the areas, upper and others. And there is no effect at all. Why? There's no buyers, but the sellers are not desperate. You would think that of the thousands of Lehman Brothers employees who got fired, some of them would have owned multiple properties in Florida. They have to sell one. Sure, if we had a rational, just government with some justice, they would be in jail and their properties would be auctioned off by the government. But that's never going to happen. The way it's going to happen is if they take any of these crooks and put them away, they're going to seize their properties And you think they're going to sell them on the open market? I got another guess coming for you. It'll go to the Democrat bigwigs who'll sell it under the table to some of their relatives in the real estate business. Okay? That's how it works. You'll never see that house it'll never hit an MLS. It'll go right into the political machinery. So a house that's $17 million right now, let's say, and I'm picking one out of the Boca Raton, Delray Beach, Gulfstream, $17 million, $18 million. When one of those guys goes away and the government takes the house as part of their assets, it'll be auctioned off for $4 or $5 million, if that much, and never hit an auction. It'll be auctioned in a silent auction, meaning it'll be just disappeared into the inventory of the government. The guy's Gulfstream that they seize, like in a drug thing, you think you're going to be able to buy a $50 million plane for $20 million if you still got money? No. It'll be seized by the U.S. Customs or given to the DEA or given to one of Obama's youth organizations. Maybe the new Obama youth wearing certain armbands will need a new Gulfstream in order to fly around and recruit more people go around and keep people in line. That's how that'll play out. Yachts, you think it's going to go on to an auction? You think the yachts they're going to seize in any of this are going to go on to an auction page? Never. Never in a million years. It'll be sold again through invisible third, fourth, fifth parties and wind up in the hands of politicians and their cronies. That's how it works. Now you know why people go into politics. You understand how it works now? That's the system. But you people on the bottom who think Obama's going to make your life better, you're fools. You're going to see nothing. Many people say, well, I think it'll be trickled down. You'll get trickled down like you got from George Bush. You know what trickled down? What pigeons drop. That's what trickled down on the George Bush. Trickle down in economics. You know what trickled down? Pigeon droppings on a statue. That's what trickles down from both parties. That's why I'm creating a third party. I'm going to tell you right now, that's why I'm creating a third party. I'm going to take $1 a year to be the titular head of this third party. I'm telling you, $1 a year. If you think I'm in it for the money, you're mistaken. I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to give the country something that it needs right now, desperately needs. And I'm going to do it for $1 a year. I'm making that commitment. You know when I make a commitment, I have to live by it, and I do live by it. There it is. I just said it. I will take $1 a year. And I would hope that within the next 90 days, I'll be able to announce that we have registered, that we're a legitimate third party, and come the first of the year, really like January 20th, 21st, after the inauguration of the new Marxist regime, we will start to do registrations in all 50 states. And we'll move on from there. That's all. We'll see if I get $100 million from Saudi Arabia like Obama did.
Savage.